We want to thank Brother Tico for those words of complimentary nature. And there's no need of me telling you that I don't appreciate being complimented and spoken well of. Even my master had to be spoken well of, and he appeared. John the Baptist was being baptized in the River Jordan. Unexpectedly, Jesus appeared. John stopped to tell the multitude, "There's a great man in our midst. In fact, the greatest man that ever lived is in our midst." He introduced Jesus to that mass of people. John the Baptist said to the multitude that didn't know him and didn't know he was present, "The Lamb of God is in the audience. The Lamb of God," and he told what the Lamb was going to do. He's going to take away the sins of the world. No greater man has ever been introduced, and never will be. But did you know Jesus, not selfish like us, he still turns right around and pays the compliment back. He tells the multitude, "Among them born of a woman, none greater than John." He wouldn't cheat John. He gave him what was doing. A lot of us today feel good things about each other, but sometimes we feel selfish. Sometimes we allow Satan to make us jealous, and we won't say the nice things that we could say about one another. I hope today will come when the hearts of men, that they need softened, that they'll be made free from jealousy, envy, and malice, and strife. Jesus introduced John, and you know, he made that great introduction there, "and born of a woman," he said. That knocked Abraham over, knocked Moses over, knocked all the great men of God over, and said, none of them greater than John. That's written on the pages of inspiration, back to the whole world to recognize and to admit. So I thank Brother Cato for those words that he said about me and introducing me to you. Not that I'm so much, but because of the fact that Jesus is using me, I'm letting him use me. All of us could let Christ use us. And we could do greater and greater things for the world and for the people, but just let Christ take charge of the whole man. Over 65 years ago, I said, "Lord, if you'll help me to preach the gospel and use me to thy glory, I'll preach it as long as I live. I'll live it so I won't destroy it, but even going, I'll preach it and live it." Did you know, for 65 years, I've spent my life, I spent my time preaching the gospel. I never did preach regular for no church. I never was the minister of no church. I didn't have time. I want to preach every day. And that's about what I've done all of these 65 years. Now the brethren that are preaching for these churches now regular, if somebody hadn't sowed the seed of the kingdom into the hearts of the elders of this church, we wouldn't be in here tonight. Some preacher that's preaching for this congregation, your brethren had made the selection of the man that's preaching for them. No need to be surprised. The gospel is being taught to them, and the elders of this church is seeing that their doctrine is taught. And the preacher that's preaching for them, they were careful in selecting him. And I want to let you know, I don't know him so good, but I'm sure he's right out of college. What'd you say college for? Out of school. What would we do today without schools, our Christian schools, are the greatest blessing to the church today? Move this Christian schools and the church has no talent. You don't want to have a debate, you wouldn't have nobody to select them and prepare to debate. Go to some college and ask the president, who can I get? And he'll name you the man. He'll need anybody. You got the minister preaching for you here now. You're not ashamed of him, but he's been to college. Christian education is the hope of the world. Without Christian education, the church would be dwelling in darkness today. They might as well admit it. They might as well agree that Brother Keeble is right. Why, the Bible tells me that one of the greatest sinners in the world became a gospel preacher, chief of sinners. But before he did that, they tell me he had more education than all the other folks. Highly exalted from an educational standpoint. And Apostle Paul, I have reference to. What did he do? You know what he do. The record tells you that Apostle Paul become not only the chief of sinners, but the chief apostle. Now you all, now you young men, don't be ashamed of your school. Don't be ashamed of the college where you're attending. Learn all you can. Prepare to meet the world. Stand up in the pulpit someday and preach the gospel, and the church won't be ashamed of you. Somebody said, and I was selected to be the president of the National Christian Institute when it first started, the board of directors said this: we're going to call a meeting and we're going to find a man to head the school, and come to hold, the lot fell on me. There's some jealous fellow in the crowd to know that I did, he could throw me by using this ticket. He said, Brother Burton, I don't have an objection to Brother Keeble, but you don't have his degree. He's never been to college. He's never had his brains expanded. And Brother Burton, being chairman of the board of directors at David Lipson College, and I'm sorry to tell you today, there's a great man awfully sick in the hospital at Nashville now. But you'd have to look hard to find a greater man that's done more for the church than A.M. Blake. He said, well, I think he was qualified for it. He may not have his degrees, and the State of Board of Education doesn't demand that the president have any education at all. Bud was pulling for me, wasn't he? He was pulling for me, and he come up with this, and they couldn't do nothing with him. All the Board of Education demands from the State Board and even the City Board of Education is that the teachers have their degrees. President don't have to have nothing. That's it. Now then. I was sitting there wondering, was I going to get it? I know the man was telling the truth. I've done all the work that I've done, and I have to give the glory to God. I have never gone past the seventh grade. President for 25 years of the National Christian Institute without any degrees at all. But I got them later. I worked up on them. Down here at Dallas, Brother Gaines, president of one of the greatest colleges in the world, was calling me a doctor. Pronounced it to the congregation as Dr. Keeble. So now you're looking at Dr. Keeble. I didn't get it the way you got it, but I got it all right. And I want you to know I had my robe on. Oh, yeah, and some of you all sitting there were witnesses of the fact when the robe was put on me and my cap and gown. Dr. Keeble, I'm not boasting.
Just bragging a little. And if I was boasting, if I was, I got scripture for it. Somebody said, where are you going to find any scripture for boasting? The Apostle Paul once asked the church to permit him to boast, sir. Paul begging them to let him boast. I'll tell you right now, we got scriptures if you boast, but be sure you got some to boast for. Live so that you won't be a disgrace to the church. Do all the good you can. Love everybody. Malice toward no man. No hatred in your heart. And that's the reason Brother Janus, president of that great college, Harding College, no greater in the world. No greater college in Abilene Christian College with Don Morris at the head of it. I met him over in Korea when I was on a tour around the world. And he and I chatted together and had a great time. And when the Southwestern Christian College started, and she was behind with the money she needed, what did you do, Keeble? I came over here and lectured and raised $2,000. And today we have it down here at Carroll. National Christian Institute in Nashville, Tennessee. Turning out preachers every year. What would the church do if it wasn't for our Christian school? I spoke at David Lipscomb College on the last lectureship. You're not supposed to preach at a lectureship when they ask you to speak. They don't mean preach. But when you get up there to do it and they all sitting back there behind you, they can't stop you, so go ahead and preach. I went ahead and preached there that this last day of the lectureship, and 23 coming all out of the galleries and down the line, young people coming to come to obey the gospel of Christ. Some to be restored and some to be baptized. Brother Pulliot is one of the greatest presidents of our schools living today, was right behind me, and he said, Keeble, you're making history. I knew it. I knew it, but I thank him for telling me. And on top of that, show you what Christian education will do. Those young ladies and young men that are making confessions, they ask Brother Pulliot and them to let me baptize them. Christian education. Amen. Nobody grunting. You know the Church of Christ is going to say amen directly. Did you know you're killing your preacher when you don't let him know you know and believe what he says? You're trying to kill me now. I ain't going to let you do it. All right. I'm not going to let you do it. The Church of Christ is going to have to learn when the gospel speaks and let the world know that she loves it. Amen. Now, where's that man at? Surely he ain't in the Church of Christ. Do you know, and I know Brother Harper sitting back there will agree with me, one of the greatest preachers that got in the brotherhood. I know when he started. He was going to school when I was over there preaching at the Jackson, Tennessee, but he encouraged me. He encouraged me and had a lot to do with me preaching the gospel today. Your Harper. Hey, but I want to know they wouldn't have him around here nowhere if they hadn't been to college. You know, in the baseball world, and in the football world, and in the basketball world, what makes them boys make them dashes, make them touchdowns, knock them home runs, at the yell from the crowd? The applauding from the crowd. Who couldn't knock a home run with that many people hollering? Come right back and knock another one. All we preachers need in the Church of Christ is a little encouragement. You give me a little bit now and I'll go home run. I'll do it if you'll help me. The day is coming when the church, did you know, Vanderbilt has already hired one of the basketball Negro players already. What's the matter with him? He has chops. He's tops, and Vanderbilt called them in and hired them for the next season. Remember the Church of Christ too, Brother Harper. The member of the Church of Christ made me so happy I didn't know what to do. On the basketball team, what? He's a member of the Church of Christ. And I heard him talking the other Sunday when he was talking at the church where his membership is. He said he's going to stand up for Jesus. Play ball? I don't play ball. He's standing up for Jesus. That kind of boy will be always putting the ball in the basket. Thank you. I'm glad you're here to help me along. I don't know who you are, but you're doing me a lot of good. And you know I was so glad to hear Brother Taylor say that Brother Sinclair, he and Brother Sinclair are working together, one for a Canadian school and another one for a Negro school in Nashville, Tennessee. But the Church of Christ has got so much Christ in her today, they don't care why you live at, just so you're a man and help you to be better. They'll help you. Canadians, they'll help you if you're one here. You don't you doubt the Church of Christ. Amen. And if you hear tonight, not a member of the Church of Christ will help you. And I want to say to you tonight, my friends, I want to lift Christ up to you tonight. And I want to extend the invitation. A few days ago, I better tell this, Brother Cato, this is too good to not tell. Brother Collins, the vice president of David Lipscomb College, asked me to speak at the high school. They have a high school there at Lipscomb. Come over there and speak in the chapel every day. And I went over there, and here come 18 of them now. Just right on down. Want Brother Keeble to baptize them. What's the matter, Brother Keeble? It's because of the fact everybody knows that Jesus said, if you lift me up, don't think you'll do it now. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. Well, you see people coming down now. They're not coming to Keeble. They're not coming to no man. If you lift Christ up like you ought to, they're coming to Christ. Amen. I'll help myself out right there. Can't get it from everybody else. Can't even get it from Brother Cato. He's sitting up there behind. Brother Sinclair, where are you? I know where are these men at. They ought to have been saying amen every time I'm not talking. Ought to be. I'm asking the crowd now. Ain't I that right? Amen. Gracious Lord, I tell you, brother, to help me. And anybody that won't help an old man about 87 years old, something's the matter with you. 87 years old, need all the help he can get. Old thing can't get it. Now then, where are you going now, people? I'm going to the 11th chapter of the book of St. John. And Jesus Christ came back after being off a long time from Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus came back one day after a long absence. The sisters were glad to see him, but they had bad news for him. They told him, said to Jesus, our brother Lazarus is dead. Well, Jesus knew he was dead. They didn't know him. He already knew it. He knew everything. He knew everything. He knew before Lazarus was dead. But these sisters, he said, he well loveth is dead. And Jesus said, he show me where he laid him at. I'm the resurrection and I am the life. Show me where you laid him. I don't care nothing about him being dead. Show me where you laid him at. That's all. You got to be dependent on Christ. And what did he do? They carried him over there to the grave. Showed him the very spot where they laid him. Right there. Well, he didn't tell nobody to get no dirt or shovel and shovel the dirt off of him and let him get out and keep that casket. He didn't do that. What did he do? He said he looked up to the grave and called him by his name. I want to emphasize that too. He called him by his name. What did he call him by his name for? He didn't want everybody in the cemetery to get up. Amen, amen. He's going to raise the wall just as easy. That's the confidence I've got in Christ. But he just wanted one man. And I want to emphasize this fact. Somebody might be sitting here saying there's nothing in the name. If he hadn't called Lazarus by his name, he never would have heard it.
That's right.
I got it that time. It's a little slow, but it's... All right, I'll be over and see you later. All right, you know you're going to have to, brother, and give it to the old man. Preach the gospel, Brother Cable. All of us will back here. All the brothers, that's the reason this big crowd is here tonight. It's stretching, Brother Cable, to preach the gospel. Ain't nothing to Cable, it's the gospel, the message that he has. Ain't nothing to him. As Jesus said, don't lift me yourself up, lift me up. Lift me up and I'll draw you. He called him by his name. Up, 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 lad. Them others that he didn't call, just slaves. And that's the way these churches are today. That he didn't name them, they're going just later. Somebody said any church will do. Now that's a beautiful thing, ain't it? You go to the airport and the man asks you, what plane you're going on? And your ticket says, just any of them will do. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. If you find out what plane you're going to ride, you ain't going nowhere. And the name better be on that ticket. And then you stand in the judgment for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to be judged. That name is going to matter. No other name is given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name under heaven. That name mounts to something. And they led the chapter that Christians were called Christians first at Antioch. Christians, they wasn't called anything else. You can't be a Christian and wear some other name. If you're not a Christian, you ain't fit to heaven. You're not ready for heaven. He said all the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And I venture to say to you, my friends, tonight, that there's no other name under heaven given among men. No other way, no other way. Jesus gave us to understand before he left here. I am the way. I am the truth. No man come to the Father except by me. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And when he came into Caesarea Philippi, and they asked him, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, asked? He asked the disciples that. What did the disciples say? Some of them said, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah. Did he take that? No. Turned to the disciples and said, who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he said that, he said, flesh and blood. It revealed that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. I want to wear a name when I go up before my master, the name that he gave me to wear. How many of you men would live with your wife if you tell you tonight when you get back home, I wear your name no more? You say, well, get out of here. Yeah, you don't want no woman in the house to wear your name. Christ don't want nobody in his church to wear his name. You got to wear his name, thank you, brother. Amen, Brother Cato said. You're going to have to do it, friend. You're going to have to do it. And keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Then Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not them, not it. That's why I've been preaching the gospel over 65 years. And I've told the people there isn't one church. And that one church wears his name. I was preaching at Los Angeles once. Yeah. Extended invitation. After we had them all seated, one young man just stood. His name sang. And I noticed he was going to stand, and I said, sir, something you want to ask me about this doctrine I preach? He said, yes, sir. He said, what about my church? There's a big crowd there under the tent. What about my church? Well, I said, I don't know what church you represent, what church you're in. He says, I'm a Latter-day Saint. I said, you're too late. Amen. Somebody thought he was in something. The man, well, late. Latter-day Saint. I thought I had made him mad. That next night I saw him come under the tent. I recognized him. I walked up to him and shook his hand and told him I was glad to see him. And when I extended the invitation that night, here he comes. Here he comes. The White Church of 12 in Hoover let me baptize him over there. And after I baptized him, I walked to him, told him and shook his hand. I said, I'm so glad that you obeyed the gospel tonight. He said, I don't say nothing that's too late. There you are. He's too late. He's come out of that thing. I want to say to you tonight, if you're a member of some church not in the Bible, you're too late. Nearly 2,000 years late. The Word of God tells you that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Preaching in Birmingham, Alabama some years ago, and a lady heard me preach, and she said, Brother Keeble, she went home, rather, pardon me. She went home and told her husband going to work that next morning. She said, Smith, I'm going to be baptized. Brother Keeble's got some people to baptize down there at the river at the right? Running right through Hensley, Alabama, and I'm going down there and baptized. And he was a deacon in the Macedonian Baptist Church. You know what she told him? She said, now, I don't care what you say. I didn't want to slip off. I want to let you know I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to let him leave town without baptizing him. He said, if you do, you'll never eat another piece of my bread. She said, well, I was going to do it because more men got dead than you. And she stood there and let him know she wasn't going to slip off. And that woman lived a faithful life in Christ until she died. Don't let nobody bluff you. Jesus gave the keys to the apostles, and the keys of the kingdom are the only thing that will let you into the church of Christ. I want to say to you, my friends, in my concluding remarks, and I trust that somebody's here tonight that wants to be baptized, and this big crowd don't want you. When you want to be baptized on the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 obeyed the gospel. Stepped out on God's word the first time the gospel was preached. About 3,000. And a lot of you ought to come out tonight and take a stand for Jesus. And don't be ashamed. Walk out on his word. Says, Brother Keeble, I see I'm wrong. I want to be a power. I want to be the light of the world. I want to help save men. Turning my back on mother, husband, and wife, and everybody, and coming to my Savior. That I've given you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth should be bound. And I have five keys that Jesus signed: hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and baptism washes your sins away. And them keys, when you use them right, unlocks a man's heart. All five of them, take all five of them to put you in Christ. Are you here tonight? Are you here not ashamed? Are you bold enough? Is anybody here that has drifted away out of the fold of God, backslidden like the prodigal son? Won't you arise and go to your Father tonight? Come to your Father tonight. Today is a day of salvation, and now is acceptable time. Will you come? Will you accept him tonight? While you're sitting here listening, won't you come? While we all stand.
He'll never tell us. He'll never tell us. He'll never tell us.